Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Albert Breer is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, MMQB. Albert, crazy weekend, but the Browns have a new coach, Kevin Stefanski. He had the least experience of all eight candidates in terms of being a coordinator or a head coach. Why do you think, or what is it that people like about him and why he may be a good head coach?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about all the structural issues
sure.
and everything else. I would say, like, this guy, like, for the public in Cleveland, give him a chance. Like, he's very well thought of. He's sharp. He works with quarterbacks, obviously, in Minnesota. But he's coached different positions, and he's come up the right way. I know he's only been a coordinator for a year, but this is a guy who's been identified in that organization as sort of a rising star for quite some time. And I can tell you that there was some stuff floating around a couple weeks ago where, you know, if the Vikings had separated from Zimmer for one reason or another, part of the reason why might have been to promote Stefanski. So he's very, very well thought of in that building. That said, you know, a first-time head coach without a lot of experience above the position coach level, coming into this situation and having to manage everything that's going on, certainly going to be a massive, massive challenge.
Albert, what scares you the most about this process? I know we've talked a lot over the last couple of weeks
yeah.
and everything, and you know we've heard a lot of similar things. What was the most jarring thing you've heard throughout this process?
That they're rolling back 2016 and 17 again. I mean, simply
yeah.
put, right?
Yeah.
I mean that you know, a structure that got them to 1-31 is, you know, going back into place, and like not only that, but they're going to go deeper into it, and there's part of this. To me, that I look at this, and I've talked to a lot of people about this over the last couple of weeks, and I just, you know, there's a huge part of me that wonders if this is really what they wanted to do in 2016, but kind of halfway did it, and their whole thing is like, let's see if we can make baseball work in football, you know, and let's do what Paul DePodesta did with the Oakland Athletics however many years ago, and go all in on this, and see if this is going to spit out the sorts of results that it spit out in Oakland 20 years ago. That's the best explanation I can come up with for it. That maybe they went halfway on it in 2016. The organization wasn't set up correctly, and now they're going to try it again. But I'll just tell you this, you know, seeing what we saw back then in the draft, player personnel, everything. I don't know how many encouraging signs you can really draw from those 2 years where any Browns fan out there would look at it and say, yeah, give me that again. Let's reset that again. Let's just go deeper into it and see if it works.
Yeah, I think the plan was actually a good plan, blowing it up and acquiring all the picks. You're
yeah.
right. The execution of the draft was not good. They made huge blunders in that process along the way. Now, maybe they'll have, you know, I hope they're not, you know, you still have to have a mix of football knowledge, if you will,
yeah.
and analytics. I do believe, Albert, there is a lot of football people that are so against this and so scared about this.
They just think it's yeah. a bunch of nerds
that
going to be calling the plays.
Right, which is a little crazy.
Not the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this,
yeah.
okay? What are analytics? Why did it
it's
work?
Information. It's just information.
Right. Well, and one of the reasons it worked is like those teams capitalized on inefficiencies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so look at the Tennessee Titans, all right? Why are they winning?
Running the football?
Culture? Coach?
They're winning. Well, there's the culture stuff and the traditional stuff
yeah.
and everything else. But part of the reason they're winning is because in a league that has 220-pound linebackers now and 250-pound defensive ends and corners converted to play safety, being small for the position, In a league that's gotten smaller and faster to try to combat all the spread offense stuff, like what are the Titans doing? They're running Derrick Henry right through the middle of that, right?
Yep.
And so, like, tell me this. Is that analytics?
Yes.
Right. So that's an inefficiency, right? This stuff has been happening in football forever. Like, it's just, and Dustin, you can probably speak to this better than I can. That's all football is.
Trends matchup. And tendencies and matchups.
Right,
yes.
Right. And so, like, a lot of stuff that we refer to as analytics, like, baseball and basketball may have been starting from zero with that stuff, but football wasn't, you know? And so, I think, here's the thing, like, I think there's been so much, for forever and ever, football has had analytics, we just haven't called it that. And so, you know, the idea that football is so far behind is so backwards, it's not even funny. And, you know, when you get people coming in and saying, well, you're doing this and this and this wrong, and then they show you stuff that you've already been doing, it's like, what are you talking about? You know, and so I think that's where the clash has happened to some degree. Here's what I would say about just the analytics and the way that the smart organizations are handling it. The information is good. The data is good. The data continues to grow, and it's getting better and better and better. The smart organizations are using these sorts of things as guardrails, okay? And so I can tell you the Baltimore Ravens, they use this stuff so they can tell when they're going outside the box, right? And what people there have told me is if we're going to take risks, if we're going to be outliers with certain decisions, we want to know it. We may still go and do those things, but we want to at least know what we're doing. We want to know that we're breaking norms and doing X, Y, or Z. I mentioned the Patriots. How do they use it? Well, they start to they actually integrate it into everything that they do. And so their coaches and their scouts are handling it on an individual basis, so they're immersed in it. The idea that you just separate, like, the analytics from everything else, that's what's so different about this, you know? And I just think, I don't know. I mean, Dustin, I'd like to know if it frustrates you a little bit, because I think that there's just this idea, because of the nature of the sport, that it's just a bunch of meatheads and they don't want to pay attention to this stuff. It's sort of frustrating to hear that because...
But isn't there some truth to that, Albert?
There's some truth to it with some of the old school coaches. Like I bet you that John Dorsey, when he hears the word analytics, he vomits in his mouth.
And Freddie Kitchens too. I mean, they weren't paying attention to trends.
Right. There's definitely some truth to it. But like the analytics, like there's been analytics in football forever and ever and ever, and we just haven't called it that. And again, I think the smart teams are integrating it into everything that they do. And I think that there's the teams that aren't smart are separating one from the other, if that makes sense, right?
Agreed.
The smart teams are taking it and adding it to everything that they do and not talking about it. The Patriots, you'll never hear them talk about analytics, right? Belichick makes fun of it at the podium. Yet, like, what people who are in analytics will tell you that everything that they do lines up with what the analytics would tell you to do. What does that say?
Right. Agreed.
They're quietly integrating everything.
Right.
Like the Baltimore Ravens, again, they set that up as guardrails. Like the Ravens, they actually have, and I don't even know if this is out there, but they have like something that almost looks like Shazam for football players, right? They can put a guy's measurables and everything else into a database, and it'll spit out a comp for them. There's things like this that are happening in football that people aren't really talking about, and the smart organizations are integrating one thing with the other. And they're not going all in on one or the other. They're not going all in on it being 1985 again. And they're not going all in on letting data make decisions for them. And I think the way I look at it, that's the smart way to do it. Where you have everything and you have everybody just sort of pulling in the same direction. But you're pulling every single lever that you possibly can.
Agreed, Albert. It's well said. You're right. And the smart teams are, and that's what we have in baseball, is that it's not just being run by the nerds. There's a mix, I think, by the smart teams in baseball, too. I think it's not just market inefficiencies, though. It's also, you know, what are the proper stats to use that tell me how good a guy is? Like, if we're still judging, like, as a, you know, when on TV, they're still judging teams based on, you know, total yards against. That's not a good indicator for how good a defense, you know what I mean? So it's how do we use the stats? How do we use the information? How do we combine it with football people to use it the best way? Yes, I think there's still meatheads in the game who think it's all stupid, and they're stupid. And
I think that exists. Yeah.
And well, I think the opposite is stupid, too. If you can't do everything based on a computer program.
I would not disagree with you that there's definitely extremes on both sides, and I don't know. Like, I look at the smart teams and they are using it. You know, like the Philadelphia Eagles are yep. loaded with people who are doing this. The Niners, right? The Niners have a guy in their building named Parag Marathi, who they hired from Bain Capital in 2000. They basically brought him in to redo the old Jimmy Johnson draft chart, right? Wind up hiring him full time. He's integrated into what they do football wise. He does their contracts. He helps their coaches. He's part of everything they do without having to carry a big stick. You know, so where are the Niners now? You see where the Niners are. There are lots of very, very smart organizations that are doing a ton of this stuff that just aren't out there advertising it because football is competitive that way. You know, and in the NFL, you know, everything's proprietary and teams don't want to let teams in on what they're doing. But I'm just telling you, like, this stuff, it's all over the place. And just because – you know, a team may get up, like someone may get up on a podium and make fun of it. It doesn't mean they're not using it. I like almost every successful team in the NFL is using it at a pretty significant level, varying levels, but a pretty significant level. And so the idea that you know, this is, I don't know, a whole new set of answers is kind of crazy to me.
All right, Albert is with us, MMQB. Albert, let's get to some of the possible coordinators, front office candidates yep. that we could see here. Any that jump out at you as of now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, on the GM side, it's clear like that they've got a very real interest in Andrew Berry. I think it's possible Andrew Berry has some options. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers, based on sort of the way that they're set up and where they're going, it wouldn't surprise me if the Panthers made a run at Andrew Berry too. So, you know, we'll see. I think that he would probably be number one on the Browns list. And then I would say George Payton's the other one. Although I tend to doubt that George Payton would leave Minnesota for this particular job, although he is close with Stefanski. And so those are the two names I'm sort of keeping an eye on. You know, obviously he's going to Kevin's going to be big as far as running the offense. It wouldn't surprise me if he asked Gary Kubiak if he wanted to come and work there. I don't know that Gary at this phase of his career is going to pick up and move again. And then on defense, I think you're going to see some young guys. You know, Matt Burke was, he's another Ivy Leaguer. He was the defensive coordinator in Miami under Adam Gase. He'd be a name. Jonathan Gannon's another one who, you know, has been involved in some of these and, you know, might have been the Browns' defensive coordinator if Josh McDaniels had gotten the job. And so, yeah, there's some good names out there, and I think Kevin's going to be able to put together a quality staff. My bigger questions here, again, I think Kevin's a good coach. My bigger questions here is, you know, whether or not the Browns are going to do enough to truly empower Kevin Stefanski to get the job done in his first shot as head coach.
They shouldn't have to have meetings with the owner going over the game plan, Albert. That sounds ridiculous.
No, it's just, again, I'm going to go back to what the smart organizations do, right? The smart organizations empower their coaches.
That's right.
You know, like Pete Carroll's empowered in Seattle. Kyle Shanahan's empowered in San Francisco. Bill Belichick's empowered in New England. John Harbaugh's empowered in Baltimore. Like, if you go to Baltimore, you won't find Eric DaCosta, the GM there. You won't find him in the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, so...
Right.
I just think that that's the way good organizations do it. And even if they don't, you know, give a coach all the on-paper power, they're empowering him to make sure everybody in the building knows the team is his and game day is his. And I think that that's going to be the biggest question going forward. The team has to be Kevin Stefanski's. Game day has to be Kevin Stefanski's.
Right.
If they take those things out of his hands, I think there's something seriously wrong.
Really quick, Albert, you mentioned Kubiak. Whether it's Kubiak or somebody else, do you think – I'd like to see Kevin Stefanski have an offensive coordinator who's actually the play caller so he can, as a young coach, yeah. be the head coach. Do you think he will do that?
I mean, the pattern and the trend, and I don't know for sure either way, but the pattern and the trend has been that offensive coaches want to call plays, at least to begin with. And normally that comes back to guys thinking that's the reason they got hired in the first place. I mean, I know, you know, with your Sean McVay, your Kyle Shanahan, you know, those guys, you know, got into the head coaching role and, you know, sort of for them it was, well, the reason you hired me in the first place was because you liked the way my offense ran, so I'm just going to call it myself. And even somebody like Zach Taylor, who wasn't a play caller in L.A., of course, you know, he winds up calling plays in Cincinnati. I would guess, but it's just based on the history of offensive coaches becoming head coaches.
Yeah.
I would have a pretty strong guess that he'll probably wind up calling it, at least initially.
All right. Albert, thanks, man. Great insight as always. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, Albert Breer.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.